Audio Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for January 2003. This is issue number 214, and I'm your host, Fred Bobby, the publisher of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. Our address is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805. Telephone number 419-228-6223. And if you're on the internet, my email address is fredv@nrcdxas.org. If you live in the United States of America and would like to become a member of the DX Audio Service, the subscription rate is $28. Two members in Canada, the subscription rate is $32. And in Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Those prices are also the real rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep the cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org. Well, with the switch in years, let's switch over to the AM switch. Here's Jerry Starr.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr saying happy 2003. Here's a look at this month's edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News magazine, starting with reference number 546 and these call letter changes. On 640, CFYI Richmond Hill, Ontario becomes CFMJ. The new station on 820 in Taylorsville, Utah, their call will be KUTR. 1300 KUBL Colorado Springs, Colorado becomes KBZC. 1380 WOOM in Millington, Tennessee changes to WLRM. 1550 KXOJ Sepulpa, Oklahoma becomes KYAL. And on 1580 WSNE in Georgetown, Kentucky becomes WXRA. Under otherness, on 1520 WHOW Clinton, Illinois has gone silent. Moving quickly on to reference number 547, just one call letter change on 1590 WDBL in Springfield, Tennessee becomes WJQY. And under otherness, on 580 KKSU Manhattan, Kansas, this license has been canceled and the call deleted. As you probably all know by now, WIBW Topeka has taken over the full-time use of this frequency. 620 WTRP LaGrange, Georgia is back on the air. 890 KLFF Arroyo Grande, California, this new station is now on the air. 950 KTBR in Roseburg, Oregon has gone silent. 1360 KWDJ Ridgecrest, California is back on the air. 1380 KRCM Beaumont, Texas has gone silent. And on 1390 KFRA Franklin, Louisiana also has returned to the air. Reference number 548 features these call letter changes. On 570 WDTF in Raleigh, North Carolina becomes WDNZ. 920 KAJZ in El Paso, Texas changing to KBNA. 1160, the new station in St. Cloud, Florida will be WOYE. 1530 KHPY Moreno Valley, California becomes KHPI, and we'll tell you about that in just a second. Because on 1670, KSUL in Moreno Valley, California, up in the X-band, has taken the call, KHPY. One grant of interest on 1490 CJPR in Blairmore, Alberta. They've been granted a move to 94.9 FM. And under otherness, on 790 WSVG, Mount Jackson, Virginia, this station is silent pending a sale. And as we touched on just a moment earlier, 670 KHPY Moreno Valley, California, this new station in the X-band has been testing. Construction of this facility was given for the reason that their companion facility on 1530 has been silent. It will also return to the air with the new calls we just mentioned. On to reference number 549, these call letter changes. On 1090, WXRK Albertville, Alabama becomes WWGC. 1300 WSJX Terre Haute, Indiana changes to WBOW. 1380 WNNY New York, New York is WLXE. 1500 WMCC in Zion, Illinois, they've decided not to use that call. They remain WPJX. 1520 WTZZ in Greenfield, Massachusetts, also deciding not to use that new call, and they are still WGAM. And finally, on 1600 in Dover, Delaware, WKEN has dropped that call and returned to a call they had a few months ago, WIBF. Two new stations have been applied for, one on 1570 in Laval, Quebec. It'll be 10,000 watts day and night with a U4 antenna, if granted. And a new X-band station has been applied for in Montreal on 1650. If granted, it will run 1,000 watts day and night, non-directional. Two grants of interest on 660. KZ2XTU. Yes, that's the actual assigned call. This will be a synchro for KZTU in Junction City, Oregon. It'll be located in Eugene, Oregon, with 140 watts at night only. Taking a look at grants to existing facilities on 1150 WMET in Gaithersburg, Maryland, they'll be moving to 1160 with 50,000 watts in the daytime, 1,500 watts at night, separate patterns day and night. 1510 WLKM, Three Rivers, Michigan, they'll move up a notch to 1520 kilohertz, where they will have 480 watts daytime, 8 watts at night, non-directional day and night. And 1680 WTTM in Princeton, New Jersey, has been granted a city of license change to Lindenwold, New Jersey. In otherness, on 1080 WWDR, Murfreesboro, North Carolina, this silent station has returned to the air. 1090 WKJM, Hartsville, Tennessee, also back on the air. 1330 WASN, Camel, Ohio, this silent station has returned to the air. They are presently relaying WGFT, the 1500 station in Youngstown, and operating daytime only. 1570 KUAU in Haiku, Hawaii, this silent station has returned to the air. And moving finally on to reference number 550, just one call change in Canada on 730 CJNW, Vancouver, British Columbia, will become CHMJ. We see three new stations being applied for, 650 in Manistique, Michigan, on 770 in Nassau Village, Ratcliffe, Florida, and on 1090 in Farmington, New Mexico. Under grants, one of interest on 1450 CHUC in Cobourg, Ontario. They'll be moving to 1580 kilohertz with 10,000 watts day and night, separate patterns day and night. And that wraps it up for the brand new month and the brand new year. I'm Jerry Starr for the DX Audio Service. Let's head south. I mean, way south. Let's head down to John Baukerland.
Well, thanks once again, Jerry, and hello to everybody. And today we're going to be tuning in on 770. I hope things are just a bit more relaxed this month than they were last month. You see, what I couldn't tell you is that my wife Linda, whom some of you have met at conventions, was undergoing a triple bypass operation as I was making that recording. And, of course, we didn't know how it was going to turn out. Turned out fine, by the way, so everything's back to normal around our house at this time. Anyway, enough of that. 770 is what we're going to be doing today. It's home to the station that claims to have the most listeners of any radio station in the country. Oh, and another thing, 770 is also the host of the longest-running lawsuit in the history of the FCC. We'll get into that further in this program, but suffice it to say, 770 is about as all-American as you can get on the AM dial. And if I don't get started, we won't hear any of them today. Not surprisingly, our opening performance is from the station that David Sarnoff once operated from Newark under the call sign WJZ, but then moved its identity to New York City. And we're going to go back to 1961 to begin the January 2003 DX Audio Service travelogue.
Hey, you stand by, Kemosabe, and the flip side of another first edition from Action Central News. We got the Dovells. They're going to be doing the Bristol stop for you right here on WABC, right?
To City Island, to Clifton, to Baldwin, 25 million people blanketed by WABC New York.
Time for weekend news from ABC Radio, brought to you by the 1962 Rambler and Winston. This is Arthur Van Horn, ABC New York.
Did you recognize Dan Ingram there? And here's what you hear at 770 on the dial in New York today.
This is the 50,000 watt beacon of freedom, the most listened to news talk station in the nation.
News Talk Radio 77.
It's 9 o'clock, John Gambling's time.
Now, at the opposite end of the state of New York, there's another station at 770 on the dial with a strong pattern to the northeast. And you want to hear how it sounds 30 miles to the due south?
Bringing you the words and music from around the world. We are 770 AM Radio, WTOR, Youngstown, Toronto.
Yes, I have it on good authority that, namely, Scott Fibush and Clark Ingram, they sound loud and clear in Toronto, which, of course, is their main target audience up in Ontario. Well, we're going to move now to a small town in Virginia called Cedar Bluff. And no, don't tell me you know where that is. Come on. It's just outside of Bluefield, about 80 miles west and south of Roanoke. They have 5,000 watts as a daytime operation, offering a gospel format to just over 1,000 people living in Cedar Bluff.
You just know it, my friend. Nobody plays a better variety of America's music than we do. Here in the heart of the country, WYRV.
WYRV, AM 77, Cedar Bluff, Virginia.
AP Network News, I'm Chuck Rice.
That's kind of a rough hum they have on their cart machine, I would say. Well, now this next community needs very little introduction. It's on the sun coast of Florida. And we're going to hear what the 770 station in the Fort Myers area sounded like back in 1989.
You're rocking in the 90s with D-Rock, 77 AM stereo WCR, North Fort Myers.
Comes about 1990, they changed their call letters to WVTI, but then in 1992, they switched over to WWCN and have remained with those calls ever since. You know, there was a time in the early 1990s when there were three stations in Florida, all operating at 770 on the dial. Today, there's only one. Here's another one of those stations that used to be here.
AM 770 is WWAM North Fort Myers, Southwest Florida's new oldies station.
And there were stations in Cocoa next to the NASA launch site and another one further up to the north. Well, let's head into Alabama.
We'll be back in tomorrow morning at 8:30 with WVNN's Birthday Club, followed by WVNN's Swap and Shop. ABC News coming up in mere seconds, followed by the G. Gordon Liddy Show. This is AM 770, WVNN, Athens, Huntsville, Decatur, the Talk Monster.
Here's the latest from ABC News. Good morning, I'm Jim Hickey.
They've got a jingle we ought to hear.
WVNN 770.
Now, as we go further north, this next little town puts a nice signal into Lexington, Kentucky, not far from the geographic mean center of that commonwealth.
Ken Cusick Spirit Chevrolet Buick, Highway 127 in Harrodsburg. Let Spirit show you why they will not be undersold.
770 AM, WCGW, Nicholasville, Lexington, Central Kentucky's Southern Gospel Leader.
The following program, Nuggets from the Word, is sponsored by the partners of J.P. Rayburn Ministries, Incorporated.
We proceed now up into the Buckeye State, to another town that may not be on the tip of everybody's tongue, I must admit. This next station is in a city about 35, maybe 40 miles southeast of Columbus. Big help, right? And Bucktel, Nelsonville. Between them, there are fewer than 7,000 people living there. So that means that we should just keep moving. And lo and behold, we come to a large complex of sizable cities, including Apple Valley, Coon Rapids, and Bloomington. And, oh, there are a couple of other cities up that way, too. Listen.
Portions of this program are made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and arts coverage is made possible by a grant from the James R. Thorpe Foundation. University AM is a production of University Public Radio, and this is University Public Radio, KUOM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. AP Network News. I'm Diane Burr.
Okay. That's my little joke for the day in Minneapolis, St. Paul. But now in the background, you're listening to my kind of music. It's coming from the Gateway to the West.
Benny
Goodman with 1 o'clock stomp on the first voice in St. Louis, WEW St. Louis. CNN News is next
CNN
at 7 o'clock.
Radio News, I'm Candace Chaloux.
And let's see, you know, WEW came on in 1921, and KMOX didn't start until 1925. And we're going to go further down the Mississippi River next.
Morgan City, New Iberia,
week. Hey, Jerry, you notice something? They actually know how to pronounce the word Lafayette properly there. Some years ago, some of you may recall Jerry's caution about mispronouncing names of Lafayette or Lafayette or whatever. Anyway, Westward Ho, into the Metroplex.
A nationwide call-in program heard live via satellite. Saturday mornings at 10:05 on AM 77.
The inspiration of your life.
KPBC, Garland, Dallas-Fort Worth.
That call sign was used at 770 on the dial back in 1991, and Dale Hamm caught this next version of their ID, let's see, just 2 years ago. We're going to go way up north to Miles City in Montana, a giant step to the north, just a little north of where General Custer held out against the Indians. For a few minutes, anyway. He did pretty well, I guess.
Serving Garfield, Powder River, and Custer counties, KATL Miles City.
From ABC News, I'm John Belmont.
Anyway, earlier on this program segment, I mentioned that 770 hosted the longest-running lawsuit in the history of radio broadcasting, and one would wonder why a station in Albuquerque, New Mexico, would have to have a directional antenna array to protect the station in New York City. That's some distance across there, you know. Well, let me tell you, for decades, that question raged back and forth, and it wasn't until just, well, a handful of years ago now that the issue was resolved. KKOB must operate with a pretty deep null toward New York City at night.
And on this third day of the merry month of October, we'll check the big calendar on the wall. We've got some golf trivia, some Thanksgiving trivia. Stay with us. It's 2 o'clock.
Keep in touch with the News Authority. 77 KOB. KKOB, Albuquerque.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick.
Yes, indeed. That's a great radio station serving the great Southwest. Well, we're going to move west a little bit more into the Golden State, up around the Bay Area.
Right now, 54 degrees at 77 West.
KPLA Riverbank. Endless country.
Wade? Now, don't kid me. You have no idea where Riverbank, California is located. Oh, unless you live in Modesto, and then you know it's only about 3 miles out of town. It's all just east of San Francisco. That station came on the air in the 1980s and used KPLA as their call up until the 1990s. Then they changed over to KCBC.
AM 770. That's growing in the word. Every Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. right here on KCBC. AM 770. See you then.
AM 770, KCBC, Riverbank, San Francisco, Sacramento.
Fairfax County, what's your emergency?
We all hope we'll never have to dial the emergency number 911.
Well, I hope you don't anyway. Well, we're going to end our travelogue for this month in the lovely city of Seattle, where for the past 12 or 15 years, you had to get up pretty early in the morning to find out what call letters the station at 770 was going to be using that day. Here's what they had in 1989.
Welcome back to the final hour of the Steve Nicolay Show on the Sunday afternoon on Old Gold 77 KXA. Now we're going to take you up to Blueberry Hill with Fats Domino. 1956, Old Gold on KXA Seattle.
And then in 1990, they changed to this.
77 Country AM News Update.
Sneak in the letters AM because the FM was in Tacoma. Anyway, in 1992 in Seattle.
Playing all the great oldies, yesterday's coolest music. Your radio set on KULL Seattle, Tacoma. Seattle's KOOL. Cool oldies.
And let's see, the last I heard from audio service listener Peter Taylor, that station sounded like this.
You get business updates every 10 minutes on the Fives, exclusively on the business station, 770 KNWX Seattle, an Entercom station.
7 o'clock at the business station, 770 KNWX. Good morning, I'm Phil Johnson.
And that's going to be a wrap on the 770 dial position. I want to thank the contributors to this program segment for this month, Billy Sampson and Mark Durenberger and Mark Strickert, Peter Taylor in Washington State, Dale Hamm, of course, and my wife Linda, who patiently waits for me every hour to get radios out of the trunk of our car along with recorders and antennas, and she calmly sits inside with the main recorder system hitched to the car radio, and of course, she usually gets the best recordings each time. So a thank you to all of you, and with any luck, I'll be back next month with some cuts from 780 on the dial.
National Radio Club!
This is Mark Durenberger on the road again, and this time we're in Oregon, Wisconsin, just outside of Madison, visiting with renowned broadcast engineer and hobbyist Mike DeRoe. Mike made a very good living and an excellent reputation designing and marketing the DeRoe Discriminate Audio Processor, the DAP, that revolutionized radio broadcasting and set the stage for today's hip audio control systems. Mike had a dream for a disabled accessible shortwave and multimedia station in Wisconsin. He bought a piece of land, built a home and an accessible studio, moved equipment on site, and petitioned the FCC for frequencies. The shortwave array was planned, and antenna poles were positioned. At that moment, due to what Mike believes was an error in the title search, a small wedge of land that cut into Mike's property, almost directly underneath the planned antennas, suddenly became available for a single-family dwelling. Because of OSHA regulations regarding proximity to high-power radio signals, the construction of that home meant he could no longer build his shortwave station, Operation Beacon. As of the date of this recording, Mike's efforts to resolve this issue had met with little success. Mike, I've known you for a long time, and it saddens me to see your dream fading away like this. How'd this idea of amassing all this equipment ever get started anyway? Have you always been a collector?
Yeah. You know, Mark, running around to all the radio stations back in the 70s and the first part of the 80s selling those processors, I was able to collect transcriptions, a lot of the equipment that had fallen out of use, and it would go to storage. I turned over a tremendous amount of the transcriptions to a blind fellow who was the curator at UCLA. And it was really great getting out and finding that stuff for him. And then UCLA decided that they were going to get more involved with the film archives, and they decided to put all this stuff into storage, which I knew could be dangerous. So Kay and I protested that, and they went ahead and gave the stuff back to us. The dream was to finally have a place where I could bring it all together, where people could get access to it and transfer it off and share it with other institutions and what have you. And it would take a lot of people, because when you get into hundreds of thousands of transcriptions, no one's going to live long enough to try to do, you know, an individual, all of it. So it needs many people.
Now, you're talking about transcriptions, pre-recorded radio shows?
Yeah, probably from the 30s and 40s and some.
They were mostly done on those 16-inch acetate discs.
And so since I have been picking up the equipment, which I had really been interested in most of my life, but the consoles, the turntables are especially important.
Let's spin back a little bit. You'd go to a radio station with your DAP, which was magic under your right arm, and you'd walk in and put this in, and suddenly you're a real friend of the radio station.
Yes.
And now you look around and you say, hey, what are you doing with that old microphone or that old console? And they say, oh, we don't know, you know, get it out of here. Right?
I must tell you honestly, Mark, it's what kept me on the road away from the family. If it wasn't the discovery of knowing, you could feel it sometimes by the call letter of the station, that you knew that the transmitter site had some gems. Anyhow, yes, we become friends, have lunch, and then it's the tour time. And, of course, the manager's always asking, because this is a surprise and shock to him, $1,650, is there any discounts? Mm. And, by gosh, yes, we can work something out.
We might take some of this stuff in trade.
Yes. So, and I usually carried a 14-foot trailer around with me.
Oh, my.
And I'd fill that thing, and... poor Kay, I mean, she's lived in a house with records and equipment under her bed. I mean, it's in every room except the bathrooms is the only place that there's been any sort of sanctity from it.
And among these various types of equipment, I noticed several workstations, and I'd like you to explain how this ties to your project and where that's going.
A lot of the visually impaired and blind people are operating very great, I mean, very fine with the computers. And doing music and streaming and lots of things. So it's really almost obsolete at the DAT machines, which there's about 30 machines here, which I intended to distribute around, and we have. I mean, a lot of the blind fellows do have equipment that we've set them up with, so they can, and the things that they have found get transferred or put programs together. Tom and Darrow is one of these cases. They've got a nice little facilities in their home, and they broadcast every Saturday night on a shortwave station and two nights a week on an FM station there in, what's the capital of Illinois, Springfield.
What was your, what brought you together with your association with blind folks?
I as a kid, I had a rheumatic heart, so I went to a special school. It's called Sunshine School, and this is up in San Francisco. But I was exposed to blind people, and I want to communicate with them. But I must tell you, it's been very fortunate for me, Mark, because, you know, most of my inventions came from just dealing with the blind. Blind people can tell when you're looking them in the eye. You know, really seeing the person, but he's looking at their eyes. And again, that's their voice that's leading him to them.
Now, let's take this interest of yours, which goes way back, and bring it forward, and let's discuss this project that you have, shortwave towers out here in your backyard. What's that all about?
Kay and I had been saving our money for our, call it a retirement home, if you will. We thought we'd go ahead and move our plant to Wisconsin. As you know, Mark, we bought a little cabin up on the Menominee Reservation. We decided, we'll settle out here, and for the hope of having a shortwave facilities, that would be good. I can operate with a little less power and hopefully propagate both directions. And knowing that there's a good water table and all here, this should work out. So, and also building a nice large home here in Wisconsin is far cheaper than it is in California, or was when we started. I think that's kind of changed. But we're looking at different pieces of property, and this was just one of many. But the people who were involved with this property pursued Kay, and since it was the last 16 acres that was grandfathered in from here on out, after we bought this, it would be 35 acres per home. I thought, boy, I don't need more than 16, and that we're going to have plenty of elbow space, so we won't be in anybody's way. I can run the generators to run transmitters. I can have RF and not bother anyone. And also, I've always had a feeling that some people are get real funny when they see blind, you know, or any disabilities. They're uncomfortable. So I thought, this is great. I can work with these people. They're not in anybody's face. We'll have the privacy.
So you were going to build a shortwave station on this site here in Oregon, Wisconsin.
Yeah. And the archives.
Mm-hmm. And it'd be accessible to blind operators, announcers, musicians.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We could do live broadcasting, live recording, and that's the other thing, see, with the studio facilities, and that's what's in the next building. Whether we got the license for the broadcast, it was still the spirit of doing this, whether we got it or not, wouldn't matter, because we could still broadcast from here via some other transmitter that we'd have to lease. And I'd hope that with WWV as a beacon, it's easy for, you know, visually impaired or blind person to hear the beacon of WWV, and we'd be just to the right or the left of that. So, mm-hmm. you know, either at 5 or 10 or 15 megs, they would mm-hmm. be able to find that. And so that's what I'd hope to pursue. We were the first applicant for the expanded band, and they lost that application. Dick Burden was handling this. The FCC lost that. This was all during that little turmoil where the FCC is going to move into another building. Refiled again, and then that fella died, and I don't know what happened, because at that point, this problem took over where we had land stolen from us.
So Project Beacon, your hope to give something back for all the blessings you've had in your life, mm-hmm. to give something back by providing a radio outlet for the blind.
And a facilities,
production facilities.
Production facilities.
Is now stalled.
Is stalled, yeah.
Now let's turn this around for a minute, and let's say that a new day dawns, and you wake up in the morning, the sun's coming up from the west, and somebody knocks on your door and says, we've resolved this home is going away, the one that we see down here in the... All of a sudden, you're able to build your shortwave station. What do you see happening with this?
Well, then we would, and I probably won't build the station. I think I'm ready to go ahead and just start the programming and operate the studio facilities, and allow Alan Weiner or one of the other, there's many shortwave broadcasters who are already set up, who have all the frequencies, and go ahead and go on the international band. I don't think I can stand fighting with the FCC. This has drained on my health pretty bad, Mark, so I don't know if I have the strength. I would have had this all gone straightforward, because you've got the pictures of it, you've got the people, you can keep pounding on the FCC. There are spaces, and as long as it's, if we can find a space that the average consumer shortwave radio can pick up, you know, AM, shortwave, because I didn't want anything that isn't accessible for a blind person, and no special boxes, no, just they have a radio and it just happens to pick up, you know, 9 megs or wherever we have to be.
Have you thought, and I assume, because as I look around here, I see all these workstations, these computer workstations, mm-hmm. I see consoles and turntables, which are literally replicas of working radio stations, mm-hmm. Putting that to use to feed the internet, for example.
It can do streaming and many channels of streaming, so there's a variety of things. Well, that was the great pleasure of the shortwave, chasing the propagation across the country. You can keep, you know, if you could keep 3 transmitters going, as one frequency starts to fade, maybe then another one is starting to fill in. And then if we could start growing using other shortwave facilities, and either satellite to them or ISDN, that we can always keep it there.
And so that part of your dream still exists.
It really does, yeah. But I think less here now and more because we've gotten to know some of the other shortwave broadcasters.
You mentioned, too, in your Radio World story and on your website, you're asking for ideas from folks. Can you repeat that request?
And Mark, even talking with you, it's inspiring. And that's all I need is communications. And yes, a lot of there's been some silly things, like somebody say, well, you got to get yourself an attorney. See, you didn't really look at the site. You know, I'm fighting the...
Is Project Beacon ever going to go on the air?
I if I don't win this, and I need to win and sue the title insurance company to make us whole. I went to Harris to get their bid for four transmitters, 100 kilowatts, that are agile. And the bid and for the antenna system comes out to $6.5 million. I'd like the title insurance company to build that, to pay for that and build that facility. So that's a done deal. And maybe not here, but someplace where it's safe and that can operate. Then I need to be made whole, because either I'm going to move here out of here and leave this home, you know, so everything is still here. I hate to move this stuff again. Moving transcriptions, it's, you know, you break things. And we've already had problems with this. There's one blind fellow who's about 17 miles from here. He comes up and his wife will bring him up, and they'll load the car, she's side, as you can see. And he'll take transcriptions, go down and transfer them. And we'll hear them on Sunday on old-time radio.
So they're getting some use.
Yeah, they're getting some use, and he'll bring those back and take others because his place is full, so he can't store them. And then now having to move those yet again to some other place, you worry about how they're handled, because I physically can't do it any longer.
If you do get a favorable ruling, if you do get someone to listen to you, and they say, Mike, okay, we were wrong, you were wronged, you won your suit, will you put the shortwave station on the air?
Yeah. Somewhere? I'm just saying, Mark, I made it the hard way. I'm sorry. I may not do it from here, but yes, absolutely. That's great. The number one thing, to put the shortwave on and set up facilities for these people to get at this stuff. You know, I'm so emotional about it, Mark, and I've spoke it and wrote it so many times. I don't know if for some reason, I feel like I'm leaving things out, and I can't even remember the last few things I talked about with you. That's how numb I am, I think.
Yeah, I can tell. I look at this beautiful home you have here, and I think, and I look at your beautiful formal dining room, which is covered with paper for civil action and research that you're doing, and what should have been a beautiful dream as you work your way toward retirement and doing things for others, at this point in time, is ashes.
And nobody cares.
We're talking to Mike Durow. We're in Oregon, Wisconsin on a beautiful October day, and I can't help but close this by thinking, here's a man, a child of radio, who grew up with it, who has been passionate about radio, and who wants to turn it around and give something back by giving others access to the magic that we shared, the magic of broadcasting. I'd really admire you for that. I know right now you're going through a frustrating period trying to accomplish your dreams, but I have the feeling that you're going to be able to do it. Michael Durow, thank you so much for your time.
Mark, thank you, really.
This is Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. On a future broadcast, we'll interview Mike about some of his experiences at the 50,000-watt clear channel stations. Meanwhile, I want to join our other editors and Fred in wishing all of you a very happy new year. Till next month, good listening, DXers.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Hello again, DXers. Ken Honestchuk back here, and Happy New Year. And I want to give you an update on National Hockey League and National Basketball Association from last time. Well, I had to go to the Tinley Park, Illinois Library, east of me, to visit them for the hockey news, which is really hard to find. The October 18th issue was the one that I wanted, and man, that thing was difficult, but I did get it, and I did get accurate information. So let me update from last column. And let's see, Anaheim Mighty Ducks, 8:30, KPLS out in Orange with Steve Carroll. Then down to Calgary, 960, CFAC are the calls, with Pete Maher and Mike Rogers. I think I missed the Colorado Rockies out of Denver on 950, KKFN, with Mike Haynes and Norm Jones. Then Edmonton, 630, CHED, with Rod Phillips and Morley Scott. Montreal, in English on 800. Set CJD, I believe, Dino Sisto and Mark Wilson. And in French, 730 CKC with Pierre Renfro and Danny Duke, I believe that is. All right. The New York Islanders on 1050 WEVD ESPN Radio. I don't know when they made that switch, but I found out it by accident. With John Wiedemann and Chris King. The Ottawa Senators, 1200 CFGO are the calls with Dean Brown and Gord Wilson. Team 1200, they call it. Philadelphia Flyers, 610 WIP, Tim Saunders and Brian Propp. And, okay, I'll get to the NBA later. Pittsburgh Penguins, 970 WBGG and 94.5 FM with Paul Steigerwald and Bob Ewing or something, whatever. Okay, next the Toronto Maple Leafs, their flagship 640 changed calls from CFYI to CFMJ recently, and they have three announcers at the microphone, which I forgot to write clearly. Vancouver Canucks, 980 CKNW with John Shorthouse and Tom Larscheid. And Washington on 980 WTEM with Steve Colby. And conflicts with the, let's see, the Wizards. Somebody's going to have to move somewhere else. Oh, well, that's out of the way, and everything is accurate. Now I go to the National Basketball Association with the complete information I sent to DX News recently. Atlanta Hawks, 750 WSB, 23 Station Network with Steve Holman. Boston Celtics, 1510 WZZN with Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell. Chicago Bulls, which I dislike to listen to. 1000 WMVP, Neil Funk, which you can have, and John Paxson. I wish he'd go back to Philadelphia where he came from. Anyway, Cleveland Cavaliers, 1100 WTAM, with one of the best announcers in the United States, Joe Tate. Love that guy. Dallas Mavericks on 100,000 watt KESN in Allen, which is northeast of Dallas. Mark Followill and Brad Davis at the mic. And Spanish 1270 KESS with Edgar Lopez. The Denver Nuggets are on the same channel as the Avalanche are, 950 KKFN. I don't know what they do with conflicts. Anyway, Jerry Schimmel, it does play-by-play. Detroit Pistons on 1130 WDFN, George Blaha, Mark Champion, and John Long. The Golden State Warriors, well, their teams are power, so they went off KNBR, and they got switched to Sports Radio 1050 KTCT with Tim Roy, and they have a lower power and a smaller audience now. Oh, well, Houston Rockets, 610 KILT with Gene Peterson and Jim Foley, and in Spanish, 980 KRTX with Adrian Chavarria and a partner. Next, the Indiana Pacers, which are doing pretty good, and I'm enjoying them. 1070 WIBC and a 23-station network with Mark Boyle and Bob Leonard. Los Angeles Clippers, 1150 KXTA with Ralph Lawler and Michael Smith. The Los Angeles Lakers have three radio stations. Oh, yeah, they're a little unusual. First in English, 570 KLAC with new announcer Paul Sunderland and Stu Lance. In Spanish, 1330 KWKW with Fernando Gonzalez and Jose Mantilla. And for the sizable Iranian population out there, 670 KIRN will do a number of games in the Iranian language, which I couldn't read, Corsi or something like that. But that should provide interesting listening some night, so should some DXer accidentally run into them. Oh well, the Memphis Grizzlies are next on 560 WHBQ and a network Don Poirier and Sean Tui, and I'd like to see that network sometime. The Miami Heat in English on 610 WIOD with Mike Inglis, and three other stations carry the games. And Spanish 830 WACC with Jose Pineda. The Milwaukee Bucks, 620 WTMJ with Ted Davis. Ted Krause does home games only, joining Ted, who's a very good announcer. The Minnesota Timberwolves, 1130 KFAN, Minneapolis. And Chad Hartman, Jim Peterson at the mic. New Jersey Nets, 710 WOR, New York, which I can hear okay at night. Chris Carino and Kelly Tripuka. The New Orleans Hornets on 50,000 watt, excuse me, make that 100,000 watts, said the website. WTIX 94.3 New Orleans will be the flagship of the team with Bob Licht and Jerry Valancourt at the mic. And in conflict with Tulane University Sports, the games go on AM, which happens to be only, I believe that's 5,000 watts at night or something like that. If Montreal doesn't get too strong on some nights, maybe I could hear the games here up in the Chicago area. Oh, well. Next, the New York Knickerbockers on 660 in English, WFAN, Mike Breen, Gus Johnson, John Andreese. And in Spanish, a number of games, 1280 WADO, Alfredo Bayar and Juan Canes. Orlando Magic in English, 580 WDBO with Dennis Newman and Jeff Turner. And in Spanish, 1220 WOTS and a two-station network with Joey Colon. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Hockey Flyers share 610 WIP. Tom McGinnis doing play-by-play, but if both teams are out the same night, 1210 WPHT does the 76ers game with their non-directional signal. Phoenix Suns, 620 KTAR in English with Al McCoy and Eddie Johnson. And in Spanish, 1400 KSUN with Freddie Morales. The Portland Trail Blazers, 750 KXL with former Chicagoan Brian Wheeler and Mike Rice. And KXL is a 25-station network. Sacramento Kings, the highest scoring team in the NBA now, 1140 KHTK with Gary Giroud and Jim Cosimore, and KHTK is a six-station network. The San Antonio Spurs, which has a good signal here to the South Suburban area, despite the WLXX in Chicago, I can still hear them at night. In English, 1200 WOAI. And Bill Schoenig is the play-by-play man. And in Spanish, 1350 KCOR with Paul Castro. The Seattle Supersonics on 950 KJR with Kevin Calabro and Billy McKinney. The Toronto Raptors, which I'd like to hear but can't because of other stations at night, on 590 CKCY with former Chicagoan Chuck Swirsky and Jack Armstrong. And the Utah Jazz out of Salt Lake City on 1320 KFNZ with Rod Hundley and Ron Boone. And the Washington Wizards wrap it up on 980 WTEM, which is same as the Capitals, so I don't know, someone team's got to go somewhere else. And Dave Johnson does play-by-play. Well, that's a complete update of professional basketball and hockey. Hope you enjoyed it. And I'll be back next time with further news, whatever comes up. And enjoy whatever sport you like. And good DX, friends, and good Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Time now for our CPC test calendar. On this edition, we have 2-1. On Sunday, February 2nd, 2003, WBMJ 1190 in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and WIVV 1370 Vasquez, Puerto Rico, will be conducting a DX test from 0-100 to 0-200 Atlantic Standard Time. Now, that's 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This test will be run simultaneously on both stations. Now at 11:59 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, the stations will come out of a youth program called Life on the Edge, and then they'll run a minute of DX information, including Morse code IDs, and then the stations will return to their regular programming from the Moody Broadcasting Network. The same procedure will be repeated at 12:59 a.m. Atlantic Standard Time and at 1:59 a.m. Atlantic Standard Time. WBMJ will be broadcasting at 5 kilowatts and WIVV at 1 kilowatt. Reception reports with return postage may be sent to Mr. Bert Johnson, Operations Manager, WBMJ Radio, WIVV Radio, Post Office Box 367-000, San Juan, Puerto Rico, 00936-7000. Or you can email your reception report to Mr. B. Johnson at cem.wbmj.org. And this test was arranged by the IRCA-CPC. We'd like to ask you to help us get the word out about the National Radio Club. Each year, the club reevaluates our list of people that we send PR notices out to. We drop some that we don't think are even mentioning our club, but we'd like to add some people that we think will mention us. We send out information on what's happening to our club to people like Glenn Hauser for his World of Radio program, to CQ Magazine, to a few other DX clubs, and to two radio reading services. Now, often we miss a few people who should be in the loop. I like to ask our members to send us the names of magazines that they read on tape or shows about radio that are featured on shortwave or on the internet. Please send us the name of the publication, their address, city, state, zip, and if possible, a contact name. The same would apply to any radio reading service, tape magazine for the blind, or useful resources on the web. Don't assume that we have them already. As recently, I received a comment from a new subscriber that said, "I can't believe that I didn't know about you guys." Well, to be blunt, we can't get the word out unless some people mention us, so we need to definitely get the word out to people who would love to get the DX audio service but just have not heard about us. Please send us those names and send them to me here at National Radio Club headquarters.
The NRC is coming to Dallas, and frankly, we're excited. First of all, your hosts are laying the ground system for a memorable event. There's plenty to see and do, like the rodeo, Six Flags, and tons of shopping. So bring the family. This convention not only celebrates the 70th anniversary of our club, but also the friendships and camaraderie that's made the NRC great. So stay tuned to the DX News and DXAS for more about the Texas-sized radio event that will tower over all the rest. Coming next Labor Day weekend, it's the NRC 2003 in Big D.
At the tone, please flip the tape to side 2.